Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 17, whole chapter of 1, and key verses, chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and chapter 4, 2. Let us read chapter 1 alternatively and key verses together. Let me start. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into deep sleep. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. He answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Together, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. 2, 8, 9, 4, 2, let us read together without stop. Let it go. Those who bring to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I'm a singer of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vows I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and God who relents from sending calamity." Amen. Praise the Lord. God's loving concern for the Gentiles is not the truth disclosed only in the New Testament. More than 700 years before Christ, God already commissioned a Hebrew prophet, Hebrew abroad missionary named Jonah, to preach a message of repentance to the Gentile country named Assyria, capital city, Nineveh. However, Jewish nationalism blinded both God's prophets and covenant people to God's worldwide purposes of salvation. The story of this book, Jonah, is one of the clearest demonstrations of God's love, mercy, grace, compassion for all of the world, for all human beings in this entire scriptures. This book, Jonah, is a very unique book, unusual book, because of its message and messenger. Unlike other Old Testament books, this book, Jonah, revolves absolutely around a Gentile world. God is very, very much concerned for Gentiles, as well as his covenant people, Israel. But God's messenger, named Jonah, God's messenger is a reluctant, unwilling preacher who does not want to preach his message for fear that the Gentiles, Assyrians, will respond and be spared, be saved by the compassionate God of Israel. Shall we see one more time again? Chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The words of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. At that time, Assyria was the most powerful country in this world at that time, and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. God called Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh, capital city of Assyria, and preach the message of repentance. His name, Jonah, means dove, pigeon, D-O-V-E. According to 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, Jonah was from Gath Hepers, 3 miles north of Nazareth, below Galilee. So Jonah was a Galilean from Northern Kingdom. Also, Jonah was a contemporary of 13th king of the Northern Kingdom, Jeroboam II. So in the middle of 8th century BC, about 760 or 70 BC. We know the Northern Kingdom of Israel was destroyed by what country? Assyria. When? In 722 to 721. So we can know this event happens about 40 years before the total destruction of northern kingdom of Israel by Assyria. At the time, Assyria was a deadly enemy country to Israel. Assyria was a real threat from north area to Israel at this time. So, you know, two priests, the message of repentance to them, to Assyria, would be helping his country's enemy. So in his patriotic zeal, Jonah put his country first before God's will, before God, and refused to represent God to them. Nineveh is about 500 miles away from Israel to northeast direction. Then he got a boat for Tarshish. Tarshish is about 2,000 miles away from Israel to the opposite direction, west, where today? Spain. Jonah thought he could flee. He could escape from the sight of God. Is it possible? He was prophet. He was missionary, abroad missionary. God uses a creative series of countermeasures to fulfill, to accomplish his desired results. Jonah's efforts to cancel God's plan are useless. So God sent huge storm, huge tempest on the sea. So all sailors on their boats did all they could to stop that storm. You know, at the time, Jonah was sleeping in lower deck, deep sleeping. The captain of that ship came to Jonah and asked, "Who are you? Where are you from? What is your nationality? Why don't you cry to your God?" Jonah was sleeping, but they could not stop this storm. So they cast lots to find out who is responsible for that huge storm. Then the lot fell on whom? Jonah. But the sea is getting rougher and rougher and becoming worse and worse. So they asked to Jonah, what should we do to you to make this sea calm down? Then Jonah said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea." They felt sorry. They did not want to pick up Jonah and throw him into the sea. But finally, they could not anything. So they had no choice but to pick Jonah up and throw him overboard. As soon as they threw Jonah into the sea, calm came down. Everything becomes still. And they were afraid. They feared God. And they offered the sacrifice to God. And they made the vows to God. So maybe all pagan sailors in this ship were evangelized by this happening. And next step, God provided a huge fish. Usually in Sunday school, teacher called this fish whale. But Bible says just a huge fish. We do not know the name of this fish exactly, but we can guess just a whale, because whale is the biggest fish. Is that true? And that huge fish swallowed Jonah. Swallowed. 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 S-W-A-L-L-O-W, swallowed. Okay, this is the story of chapter 1. Actually, this book, Jonah, consists of four chapters. And chapter 2 is the prayer of Jonah in that huge fish. 3 days and 3 nights. He prayed, he confessed in his prayer, salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. This is one of key sentences, key verses. He realized true truth in that fish. If he wants to realize real truth, we need to dwell in huge fish 3 days and 3 nights. There is big truth, spiritual truth. And in this chapter, last part, also God commanded the fish to vomit, to spew Jonah on the beach, on the dry land. This is the story of chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, there is a second commission of Jonah. First chapter is the first commission of Jonah, and in chapter 3, second commission of Jonah. Almost the same with chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, the words of the Lord came to Jonah second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. At this time in chapter 3, Jonah obeyed God because he experienced a wonderful experience. But still, Jonah obeyed not willingly, reluctantly, unwillingly he obeyed. He went into Nineveh and he preached. His preaching, his sermon is only one sentence. 40 more days, this city, Nineveh, will be overturned, destroyed. You know, Jonah preached this sentence, this sermon, expecting Nineveh would be destroyed after 40 days. This missionary Jonah is a working object lesson from God. No doubt, imagine, no doubt that his skin breached through his stay in huge fish. How many days? 3 days and 3 nights. And it is the most responsible evangelistic efforts in human history, in church history, in mission history. Just one sentence sermon brings incredible, unbelievable results. And all people in Nineveh, from king, from the greatest to the least, all repented, all believed God with fasting. Even animals did not eat, did not drink in sackcloth. Even animals repented. God saw their repentance, turning away from their evil ways. So God has compassion. God has mercy and grace upon them and did not bring to them the total destruction he had threatened. How wonderful missionary. Then, shall you see last chapter, very strange. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. His missionary job was a great success. But because of great success of his missionary job, he was greatly angry, unsatisfied. He was angry with God because of God's love, God's compassion, God's mercy, God's grace, God's slowness to be angry, abounding in love, not sending calamity to them, calamity to them. And Jonah complained to God, take away my life, I won't die. You know, in chapter 4, he repeated two or three times, I won't die. I'm angry enough to die. Very strange. And God asked to Jonah, do you have right to be angry? And Jonah said, yes, I'm angry enough to die. And God took another action in this moment to teach a spiritual lesson to Jonah. After this happening, Jonah went outside the very hot season, maybe summer, hot out, an open place outside the city Nineveh, and Jonah built a shelf, rough house, and he took rest inside that house, waiting to see what would happen to the great city Nineveh. And God provided a vine, and make it grow up on Jonah to give him shade, to make him cool. So this shade make him feel cool. And at this moment, Jonah was, the Bible says, Jonah was very happy. Jonah was very happy with this vine. And then next day early morning, God provided a worm, you know, W-O-R-M, worm, which should eat all vine, and it withers. No shade. The sun rose, the sun blazed on his head. So he felt very hot, so faint. So once again, Jonah said, it is enough to die. I won't die. Okay. Later you read the whole, if you read the whole chapter, it takes less than 10 minutes. Very interesting story. But this is a true historical story which happened in history exactly 760 or 61 in BC. In this situation, Jonah's emotion, Jonah's feeling changed very quickly. First, from fierce anger to despondency, and then to great joy, and then finally to despair. Also, God said to Jonah once again, do you have right to be angry about this vine? You are concerned with this vine. You did not tend it. You did not make it grow up. But you can be angry or you can be happy with this vine. But in this great city, Nineveh, there are 120,000 innocent children. It means if 120 innocent children were there, it means we can guess at that time the population of Nineveh. No, at that time, Nineveh was the biggest capital city in this world. The population of Nineveh may be 600,000, almost the same with the population of Jeonju City today. Jeonju is a little more, 600,000. Is that true, Professor? True? And then last sentence, very strange and interesting. Last sentence, God's question to Jonah. Should I not be concerned with this huge city? This is the last sentence. And finished, the end of the story of Jonah. This story can be the story of today's Christian. We can get many, many lessons from this short book, but I want to share with you three lessons we can learn and apply in our daily life, Christian life. Please do not forget these three lessons and remember all the time, wherever you may be, whatever you are doing. Amen? Ready? Okay. Number one, please remember God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. One of the basic, biggest attributes of God is omnipresence. We heard starting with omni, three omnis, omnipresence, omnipotent, omniscience. But the key message from this Jonah, we can get this omnipresence of God. Yes, God is creator of all his creations. It means God is transcendent. God is beyond his creations. God is not limited by his creation. But at the same time, God is within all his creations. Immanence. God is immanence in all his creations. Jonah's first biggest mistake, misunderstanding, misconception about God is he thought he could flee, he could escape from the sight of God. This was his first mistake, misunderstanding about God. He was a prophet, missionary, today's maybe pastor, but he did not understand fully who God is, what God is like. Psalm 139:7a says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I go up the heavens, you are there. If I make my sleeping bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, If I settle on the far side of the seas, even there, your hands will guide me. Your right hands will hold me fast. Please remember, God, creator, transcends all space, all universe. But at the same time, God is within all universe, not limited by it. So this doctrine of omnipresence of God is both comfort and subduing. It is a source of big comfort and encouragement to us. Why? Because God, the ever-present one, is all the time available to help us. Anytime, every time, anywhere, everywhere. But also at the same time, this doctrine of omnipresence of God is a source of warning, restraint to us. No matter how much, no matter how far we may try, we cannot escape. We cannot flee from his sight, from his presence. Neither distance, no darkness can hide from God's sight. There is no creation hidden from the sight of God. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything in all creation is uncovered, laid bare, laid totally naked before the eyes of him to whom we must give accounts. We must give him our responsibility. Second lesson we can get from this short book is God is a missionary God. Shall we say it together? God is a missionary God. Since when? From the beginning. Please remember, from the beginning, from the first, God is a missionary God. God is a global God. God is worldwide God. Are you worldwide Christian or a worldly Christian? There are two kinds of Christians, worldly Christians and worldwide Christian. In Korean, worldly Christian, worldwide Christian. 세상적인 기독교인, 세계적인 기독교인. Some Christians may think, in view of God, God is different between Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, God was only God of Israel. God loved Israel alone. God showed his favoritism, partiality, Israel. Some may think, in the Old Testament, God was a God of salvation to Israel, but God was God of judgment to the Gentiles. This is a terrible misunderstanding about God from the beginning. You know, even already in Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham and blessed him. Why? God blessed Abraham so that he may be a blessing to all nations. God called Abraham so that all peoples on earth may be blessed, may be saved. Through whom? Abraham. If there is a difference between Old Testament and New Testament, difference is only tool, through which God intends to save all human beings. In the Old Testament, main tool was Israel. In the Old Testament, God intended to save all human beings through his chosen, his covenant people, Israel. But in the New Testament time, today, in our days, God is intending to save all human beings through whom? His children, believers of Christ, the church. That's why church is called the children of God and body of Christ. Please remember, if we obey God's will to preach the message of salvation in Christ reluctantly, if we are not happy, if we are unsatisfied with conversion, repentance, and salvation of those whom we have difficult to love, to like, we are doing something wrong, just like Jonah. Finally, number three, we can get very key lesson from this book. Yes, in the Old Testament, there are many, many prophets, but Jonah is a very unique prophet, you know. Jonah is only prophet whom Jesus likened to himself. You know, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to 41, one day, some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus and challenged him with a difficult question. Teacher, we want to see a miraculous signs from you. Okay. Do you like signs? Usually everybody likes signs. But Jesus' answer is, wicked, wicked and adulterous generation asks for miraculous sign. But none will be given it except the sign of prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man, who? Jesus Christ. Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the very heart of the earth. So Jonah's experience of staying in huge fish 3 days and 3 nights is a type of Jesus' historical experience, staying 3 days, 3 nights for our sins. It means his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Jesus says, Bible says, all signs God won't show us, all signs we need is only death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, even today around us, there are many unbelievers who say like this, show us sign. If I see sign from heaven, I will believe. I'll be saved. Even among Christians, among believers, there are some who say like this, I want to see sign. If I see sign from heaven, I will grow in faith. I'll be more stronger. I'll commit life more to Christ. But Jesus says, all signs you need is only Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection. This is more than enough sign we need to believe in Jesus Christ, to serve him as our Savior and Lord, to commit our whole life to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah's experience is a type of Jesus' experience in his death, burial, and resurrection. His death and resurrection is enough. Amen. Shall we say it together? His death. Resurrection. More than enough sign. I need. Really? Amen. Let us pray. Let's pray. Shall we take in the visual time to pray? Remembering 3 lessons, God's omnipresence. God is there wherever you may be. When you home, God is there. When you in school, God is there. When you walking, God is there. Sometimes when you fighting with somebody, God is there. Please don't forget this truth and let us be faithful, sincere, missionary and prophet and preacher of the message of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray together? Our Lord's God. Father God, thank you for your signs, wonders, miracles. Father, our living itself is a sign, wonder, miracle, because apart from you, we can do nothing. We cannot breathe. We cannot walk. We cannot sleep. We cannot study. We cannot stand up. We cannot sit down. We cannot sleep. We can do nothing apart from you. That's why our movements, our motion itself is a sign, wonders, and miracles from you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your long-suffering, perseverance, patience, slowness, very, very slowness to be angry. Father God, thank you for your keeping us so that we may keep your words in our daily life. Father, all the time, you are there wherever we may be. Help us to remember this truth and recognize and realize and feel your presence, your being with us through your spirit, spirit of realization, spirit of illumination, spirit of revelation. Thank you for your being with us all the time. All glory back to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.